Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study.
Two sons of Aaron do that caused them to be crispy critters. They offered profane fire before the Lord because they had been drinking. So Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9 says, we'll start with 8. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, Aaron's the high priest. Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. It doesn't mean that Aaron and his sons can't drink wine at home with their meals. It's don't be drinking when you're coming into the tabernacle. Because what happened to two of Aaron's sons? They offered profane fire, and the fire destroyed them. Then was Aaron permitted to mourn for them? No. How awful that would have been. Again, in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 15, we're going to talk about sacrifices in general. The thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering. What's a wave offering? You pick it up and wave it back and forth. That's what it means. That's what it means. They shall bring with the offerings of fat made by fire to offer as a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded. Have you seen anything yet that suggests that the temple services or the statutes concerning the sacrifices in the priesthood were just meant to be temporary? Me neither, because this word is olam. Go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. For those of you who know your scriptures well, you know Leviticus 16 is all about Yom Kippur. Well, that's one of those feasts and festivals of the Lord from Leviticus 23. Hold up four fingers on your left hand and three fingers on your right. The first four appointed times of the Lord teach the first coming of Messiah. Wiggle your little finger. Passover doesn't begin at sundown like every other day. Passover begins when? 3 p.m. What time did Messiah die? 3 p.m. He was buried on leavened bread. Wiggle the next finger. He arose at the Feast of First Fruits, wiggle the third finger. And the Holy Spirit came at the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, or Pentecost, if you prefer. So he died, was buried, was resurrected, and the Holy Spirit came on those first four appointed times. Then between them, in Leviticus 23, you've got one verse, which is the harvest period. Harvest period in Israeli agriculture back in Bible days was in three parts, right? The first fruits, 1 Corinthians 15 identifies who was the first fruits? Messiah, and those that arose with him in Matthew 27. Then there's the main harvest, that's Revelation chapter 4. But then what about those who get saved during the tribulation period and are martyred by the false Messiah? They're the gleanings in Revelation chapter 20. And then you got the three fingers on the right hand, wiggle them. The Feast of Trumpets teaches the rapture resurrection. The Day of Atonement teaches the literal return of Messiah to the earth for the Battle of Armageddon. And then 5 days later is the Feast of Tabernacles. And who's going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles throughout eternity? Everybody. Zechariah 14:16. So with that in mind, look at Leviticus 16:29. It's about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16, verse 29. This whole Yom Kippur sacrifice ceremony says, this shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. That means to fast. And do no work at all. whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. What is that, a stranger? What's that mean? The non-Jew. So Jew or Gentile alike. How long are we supposed to fast on Yom Kippur? Forever. People go, well, wait a minute, Messiah died for us. We don't have to do these sacrifices anymore. We don't have to keep these festivals. God says what? They're a shadow of the things to come. They teach about Messiah. He said forever. So Yom Kippur will be kept how long? Forever. Go Leviticus 17, verse 7. You hear theologians today say that since Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection, idolatry is no longer prohibited by God. That's why it's okay to have Christmas trees and Easter eggs and things out of pagan idolatry, because those laws and rules, they just don't apply anymore. Now let's see what God says. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons after whom they have played the harlot. The demons are behind the idols. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. So God says, no idolatry for how long? Forever. Same word, olam. Everyone that we've looked at that said a statue forever, the word is olam. The same word as the rainbow. Then we get to Leviticus 23. Let's just turn there. These are the appointed times of the Lord. They're not feasts. That's a mistranslation. The word feast in Hebrew is chag, C-H-A-G. This word is moed, M-O-apostrophe-E-D. Moed, M-O-apostrophe-E-D. Or in the plural, moedim. It means appointments. How many of you ever made a doctor's appointment? Do they expect you to keep it? In fact, they charge if you don't, right? Well, these are appointments God made to keep with mankind. How is God, who's a spirit, going to interface with mankind on these days? Through Messiah Yeshua. That's where we get the Passover, where Messiah died, etc. But in Leviticus chapter 23, let's start in verse 14. Verse 14 comes at the end of the what? The first three festivals that teach Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah. It says in verse 14, you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So Passover and unleavened first fruits are to be kept for how long? Forever. Well, that's only three. What about the fourth one? What about Shavuot, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, whatever you want to call it? Let's go to verse 21. What's that? Leviticus 23. Yeah, we're going to be in Leviticus 23 for four times, four verses. So that was Leviticus 23, 14. We're going to Leviticus 23, 21. Leviticus 23, 21 is the Feast of Weeks. Let's see. Are we there? Let me just swing there. 20 says, you shall proclaim on the same day that it's a holy convocation. Holy convocation means a rehearsal that's set apart to God. It's rehearsing something Messiah would do at his first coming. And what's that? What's in the Holy Spirit. You shall do no customary work on it. That makes it a high Sabbath. It shall be a what? A statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So people ask me, Wayne, in the kingdom, are we going to keep these appointed times? What's the word forever mean? It means forever. We certainly will. Now, what about the fall festivals? Let's go to Leviticus 23, 31. This comes at the end of Yom Kippur. Verse 3, you shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. To verse 41, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. You shall keep as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in a year. Shall be a statute. What's that word? Forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. So what can you say about these appointed times? Yes, robot. Okay. I thought it was a question. So think about it for a moment. How many of you have read the letter that I've sent out on multiple occasions from Constantine that said, thou shalt never again celebrate Passover. You're going to do Easter instead. If you don't have it, here's my email address. wdavis.jag@gmail.com. Just say, please send me a copy of Constantine's letter. Constantine explains why we're never again to keep the Feast of Passover. Why we have to do Easter instead. And when you read through it, well, it'll probably make you sick to your stomach. But you'll understand why things changed in the 4th century as they did. So what do we find? The feasts and festivals, the appointed times of Leviticus chapter 23, were all to be done when?
Forever.
Forever. Olam. Leviticus 24 verse 3 is about the menorah. That lampstand that was in the holy place, the HaKodesh, which is the first part of the tabernacle of the temple before you get to the veil that separates from the Holy of Holies. Leviticus chapter 24 verse 3. Outside the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of meeting, Aaron shall be in charge of it, that's the menorah, from evening until morning, before the Lord continually. Ooh, what's that word continually?
Tamid.
It never stops. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Numbers 18. When God divided the land of Israel among the tribes, did the tribe of Levi get a tribal portion of land?
They got cities.
No. They got cities spread throughout. Because they're supposed to be teaching the people the Torah. All the time they're not serving the temple. And they only serve in the temple, what, 4 or 5 weeks a year. One in the spring, one in the fall, then at the three pilgrim festivals. So yeah, 5 weeks a year. What do they do the rest of the time? They're supposed to teach people Torah in all the surrounding villages and cities. Did they do a good job? No. Does the Bible tell us why? Because they taught for money. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So menorah. Forever. In Numbers 18, verse 23, it says, but the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. Why? Why is it so important that God would include the fact that they can't have their own tribal portion of land ever? Because they're supposed to be tending the things in the temple and teaching the people around them, and that's how they get their income, their food. If they have their own tribal lands, well, they will tend their own sheep and their own cows and their own vegetables and will stop teaching the people.
And the book of Malachi gets written.
Exactly. I would say let's turn to Malachi, but we won't do that. I will try and hold off for just a moment. Let's see, we have two questions or comments out there and go to meeting land. Okay, that was answered. Okay, good.
Wasn't it also, Brother Wayne, the reason why the Levites were given no land is because the Levites were considered the firstborn and they belonged to God.
Yeah.
And he set them aside instead of killing them. He redeemed them and they are his.
That's correct. And their service is in the temple. And if people don't bring in the tithe, well, they stop doing the temple services, things really fall apart. Numbers chapter 19, verse 10. Again, the ashes of the red heifer. Does God think he has to tell us over and over? Well, apparently he does. So Numbers chapter 19, verse 10. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes. You didn't realize it's not heifer, right? It's just cow. And be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them. So it's to the Jews and the Gentiles. It's forever.
I have one?
Go ahead.
18:8.
Numbers 18:8.
And see, I myself have also given you charge of my contributions, all the set apart gifts of the children of Israel. I've given them to you for the anointing and to your sons as a law forever.
Yep. So there's another forever. Oh. Lest you be mistaken, I didn't do them all.
Okay.
I just picked out certain ones that I thought by the time we're done, you'd be going, that's enough, Wayne. We got it. We're not there yet.
You need two or three witnesses.
Yeah, got to have two or three witnesses. It says actually, or more. Let's see. Yep, somebody put my email address out there for anybody who doesn't have it. wdavis.jag@gmail.com. I've had that email address forever. So we... It's a perpetual email. It will never change. I get the joke now. Okay. So, what kinds of things have we seen that God said forever? Sacrifices, temple services, the appointed times of the Lord, priesthood, all these things that the traditional church teaches went away 2,000 years ago. But... what about food? We didn't see anything about food laws. We're about to get a big old lesson on that. Okay. So let's do the little short lesson. I watch a lot of other theologians on YouTube so I can see what you guys are being taught out there. And I watch as much as I can stand. But most people who talk about food say that's done away with. Acts 10 proves it. Romans 14 proves it. Neither has anything to do with unclean foods. But let's look at things that do. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 11. And I'm going to show you why the Bible does not say this is a statute forever when it comes to the food laws. Yeah.
It is like you can predict, oh, they're going to do Acts 10, they're going to do Colossians.
Yeah. You know exactly what they're going to go to. Yeah.
But it's only, they only go to one verse.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look at the context. It's just that one little verse cherry picked up.
Yeah. Just for grins. Just because I have no impulse control. Keep your finger on Leviticus 11 and turn up to Romans 14, 14. Romans 14. I had this when... suggested to me just this week that if I would just read this one verse, I'd understand that we can eat all the piggies we want.
No, that's assuming you've never read the New Testament.
Yeah, you know, that's what the preacher said. Said, you've read the New Testament? Yes, I've read the New Testament.
Numerous times.
Yeah. Romans 14, 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. How many times does the word unclean appear in that verse?
Zero.
Zero. The word unclean is akathartos. That's not this word at all. It's koinon. K-O-I-N-O-N. Koinon. Remember in Acts chapter 10, Peter says, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. This is the word common, not the word unclean. Unclean is forbidden by God. Common is forbidden by the rabbis. So Romans 14 is not about eating pigs. You know what it's about? It's about a rabbinic rule that's referenced in Luke 18:12. Messiah himself references it. Luke 18:12. where the Pharisee says, I fast twice a week. How many times does God require us to fast in a year?
Once.
So what's this fast twice a week? That was a rabbinic requirement, and it wasn't a total fast, but every Monday and Thursday, they required the people to do a partial fast. You could have vegetables and water, but no meat and no wine. So when you look at Romans 14:1, receive one who's weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. He's not calling God's commandments doubtful things. He's calling the rabbinic rules doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things. Aha, there's piggies. No, there's not. Keep reading. But one who's weak eats only vegetables. So the one who's strong in the faith eats meat and vegetables on Monday and Thursday. The one who's weak in the faith eats only vegetables on Monday and Thursday. So who gets to decide what's edible? What's food? God does, not the rabbis. So verse 3 says, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. So if you choose to eat vegetables on Monday and Thursday, what's that to me? Nothing. And if I have a T-bone steak on Monday and Thursday, what's that to you? Nothing. God didn't tell you you have to eat a steak. And he didn't tell me I can't eat the steak, right? That's why it's a doubtful thing. And then when it comes down to verse 5, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. That's not talking about Sabbath. It's Monday and Thursday. So some people eat meat 7 days a week. Others only 5 days a week. What's that to you? It says, let God judge his servants whether he wanted you to eat meat or not.
What was that word again? K-O-I?
K-O-I-N-O-N. Koinon. Koinon. And unclean is akathartos. A-K-A-R-T-A. Something or other. Akathartos. Spell it like it sounds. Akathartos. Yes, Jeremy.
Wayne knows it. Say that Acts 10 says it doesn't matter what you eat anymore. If they would just read five chapters later, Acts 15, four things that were required of the Gentiles to come to Shabbat and learn Torah. Three of those things are dietary.
Yeah, three of those things are dietary. Let's go to Acts 10 for just a minute. I'm sure you guys know all this, but let's just make sure. Acts 10 has nothing to do with eating pigs. Nothing at all. And if you read it, it tells us that. So let me just summarize it as you're looking at it. Cornelius is a God-fearer. He's a Gentile Roman soldier who follows God's commandments, which means he and his family don't eat pigs in the first place. He gives generously to the people. The word people there is Laos, L-A-O-S, and it means specifically the Jewish people. So here's a Roman centurion praying to God three times a day, giving alms to the Jewish people and keeping God's commandments. And God says, send men down to get Simon Peter down at Joppa, which is down by Tel Aviv today. So he's going from Caesarea down to Joppa, which is a couple days' journey. How many men does he send? Three. Keep that in mind. Three. As Peter's on top of the house praying, he gets hungry. And he falls into a trance. And he sees a tallit bound at the four corners with what? The tzitzit represent what? God's commandments, statutes, and judgments, the Torah. And on this tallit are all kinds of animals, which means they're not all clean. And God says, oh, it doesn't say God, it says a voice from heaven, a bot coal says, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, what?
Not so, Lord.
Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. There are many commentaries out there that say Peter
disobeyed God.
But that's not it at all. If you've read 1 Kings 13 and Deuteronomy 13, you know why he says, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Yeah, it's a test. A voice from heaven comes the second time saying, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And that happens how many times?
Three times.
How many Gentiles are coming?
Three.
Go ahead. What was your question?
About that voice from heaven. Could that be from Satan because he is still in heaven at that point and at this point?
All we know is it's a bot call. We don't know who it's from. So that's why I said from God, and I said, no, it doesn't say from God. It just says from heaven. But it happened how many times? Three times. Three Gentiles are coming. If not for this vision, what would happen? Yes?
It says the voice came a second time, which implies, and if you look at the other references to it, I think it's not at all clear that it's not the same voice. Because it says the voice came a second time, not a voice.
And where does yours say the voice? Are you looking at the Greek or the English or what, Edmund? Edmund, we're not hearing you.
Sorry. When he repeats it, when he's talking, when he comes back and they're challenging him, and he describes it, and both times the implication is that it's the same voice.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's go on. My point is, there are three men coming. Three times it says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. The next thing Peter does is have a ham sandwich, right? No. The next thing, verse 17, he's wondering, what does it mean? He doesn't understand what it means until there's a knock at the door. If not for this vision, what would have happened when there was a knock at the door and there's three Gentiles? He'd have told them to go away. Go away. You got to go down to verse 28. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Matthew 28, God told the apostles to go out to the Gentile world and teach them the commandments. They haven't gone. Years have passed. They have not gone. Why? Because there's a rabbinic rule that forbids them from going with these Gentiles. The gospel would never go out to the Gentiles. So it says, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So verse 15, what God has cleansed, it wasn't the pig. It's the God-fearers. And it goes on to repeat that and make it even more clear in verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. That's no partiality between Jew and Gentile. But in every nation, whoever fears him, remember God fears Cornelius, and works righteousness, that's the alms to the Jewish people, keeping the commandments, is accepted by him. Nowhere in here does it say, God has shown me I should not call any pig common or unclean. It's talking about the Gentiles. The rabbinic rules were keeping God's commandment from being fulfilled. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission. They haven't gone. Okay, back to Leviticus 11. I assume you're all Torah scholars, but just in case not, let me break this down. Go to verse 4. Nevertheless, Leviticus 11, verse 4. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves, the camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. Look at the words, shall not eat. In Hebrew, that is lo tochlu. Spell it L-O space T-O-C-H-L-U. Lo tochlu. Lo means it's a permanent commandment. If it was temporary, it would be al tochlu. You can't eat now for some reason. You're unclean or there's no refrigeration, anything like that. It would be a temporary prohibition. It would be al tochlu. When you see lo tochlu, it means not ever. So in Leviticus 11:4, with a negative commandment, when God says lo tochlu, he doesn't have to say this is a statute forever. He